Hello there, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast from Family Bible, a ministry of Christian Family Reformation. I'm your host, Christian Horseman, and it's my prayer that as you and your family study God's Word together, you'll find this broadcast to be a blessing to your souls and an inspiration to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. So without any further delay, let's get started. Tuesday, January 31st, year of our Lord, 2023, and today we're taking a closer look at the 8th chapter of the book of Esther. Shortly before the events recorded in this chapter, we saw Esther and Mordecai in tears and in fears, but also fasting and praying. But now we see how light arose to them in their time of darkness. Haman had been hanged as a traitor, and therefore his estate was forfeited to the crown. And the king gave it all to Esther in recompense for the fright which that wicked man had put her into. His houses, lands, property, and all the money which he had heaped up as the king's grand vizier, which was surely no little sum, were given to Esther as her own. Thus we see the wealth of the sinner being laid up for the just. Mordecai was also advanced and promoted from his lowly service as the king's gatekeeper. His honored procession through the streets of the city earlier that very morning was only a sudden flash or blaze of honor, but now he was raised to a permanent position of honor. So humble and modest a man was Mordecai that he had concealed his relationship to the queen for the last 5 years, and never made use of it for any advantage of his own. But now he was brought before the king, for Esther had told him how close he was to her, not only as a cousin, but also as the best friend that she had in the world, who took care of her when she was an orphan, and whom she still respected as a father. And now the king made Mordecai the prime minister of Persia in the place of Haman. All the trust which he had reposed in Haman and all the power which he had given him were transferred to Mordecai. The king made a happy change of his closest friend, and no doubt he and his people soon experienced the blessing of it. After Haman was hanged, Mordecai and Esther were sufficiently protected, but many other enemies were still in the king's dominions who hated the Jews and desired their ruin. Haman's edict of destruction against them was still in effect, and the laws of the Medes and Persians could not be revoked, so they would have been deemed as rebels against the king if they had tried to take up arms in their own defense. For the preventing of this, Queen Esther made intercession before the king. It seems that she came a second time, uncalled, into his presence, and she was again encouraged to present her petition by the king's holding out the golden scepter to her. Her petition now was that the king, having put away Haman, would also put away Haman's wicked plot against the Jews. Esther did not allow herself to enjoy the fruit of her services for her own personal comfort until she saw that her people were also cared for. And while we admire Esther in this, we cannot overlook our Savior. When he had vanquished death, hell, and the grave, and then returned to glory, he did not diminish his attention to his people, not even for one moment. Such is his unequaled love to his redeemed ones that his triumphs will never be complete until he has brought them all home to him in glory. In order that Haman's plot would be defeated, Esther pleaded with the king for another act of grace. She fell down at his feet and besought him with tears that he would write another edict which would reverse the decree made by Haman. He informed Esther that according to the constitution of the Persian government, the former edict could not be flat out revoked. However, he contrived a way to counteract the bad effects of Haman's scheme by signing and publishing a second decree, which fully authorized the Jews to stand up in self-defense. So the secretaries of state were ordered to draw up this new edict and publish it in the respective languages of all the king's provinces, and copies were sent throughout the kingdom by speedy express riders on mules and camels. The essence of this second decree was to commission the Jews, upon the same day which had formerly been appointed for their destruction, to draw together in a unified body for their own defense. They were to stand for their life so that whoever assaulted them would do so at their own peril. They were also given the authority to destroy all the people who would attack them, and to enrich themselves with the property of their enemies. This second decree certainly showed the king's kindness and favor to the Jews, and sufficiently provided for their safety. Yet it still showed the absurdity of that clause in the Persian constitution, that no edict might ever be repealed. For in this case, it laid the king under the necessity of basically creating a civil war in his own kingdom between the Jews and their enemies. This new proclamation, which brought great joy and gladness to the Jews, was made about 9 months before the fatal day which Haman had appointed for their destruction. Thus, it was about 2 months from the time of Mordecai's bitter cry to this time of deliverance. The Lord sometimes allows his dear children to be under trials for a while, even when he has determined their deliverance all along. His people are sometimes made to sow in tears so that they may reap so much more joy. May God give us grace to always keep such things in remembrance. Very shortly, he will bruise Satan under our feet, and this song shall be sung in full chorus and glory. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And this concludes our study today in the 8th chapter of the book of Esther. Thank you so much, my friends, for tuning in to today's broadcast from Family Bible. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have, and I invite you to join me again here tomorrow, Lord willing, and continue experiencing the richness of His precious Word with your family. If you found this resource to be a blessing to you today, please share it with someone you know, and consider taking a moment to leave a comment and tell others what you found edifying. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube so you'll never miss a new broadcast. And feel free to visit my website, ChristianFamilyReformation.com, for inspiration and encouragement in your family's walk with the Lord. I'm your host, Christian Horseman, and I want to thank you again for tuning in today. May the Lord inspire you to live life today in light of eternity. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.